to love people better, we have to understand the characteristics of God and how God loves people. And one of the things I love about our Lord is that he provides for his people. Aren't you thankful God provides? So we're going to look and see what he has in store for us today in the way that he provides. But look here, if you will, in Mark chapter 12, and we're looking at verses 29 and 30. Here we see one of the last few episodes of where Jesus is being tested. He's being asked questions by the religious leaders and the Pharisees. And it's just a few days before his crucifixion, his resurrection. All this takes place, the week of Passion. And we see this one more time. They're trying to trap him in his words. They're trying to trick him up. And they ask him, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" We see this in verse 29. "The most important one," he answered, you guys see it with me, "is this: Hear, O Israel, love the Lord our God." You guys read it out loud with me, if you will. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these." So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, let it do what you want it to do today in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a fist bump or a high five before you're seated. God bless you guys. Love you guys up in the balcony this morning. Hey, I love you guys up there. I just want to hear somebody say that. Just remind me that you love me up there too. I love you. I love it. Now I want you to go to Genesis chapter 22. Because today we're going to look just for a moment. We're going to have communion here in just a few moments too. I want us to prepare our hearts for that. But I love this story in Genesis where we get the Hebrew name of God. You guys already know what it is in Genesis chapter 22. Jehovah Jireh. You guys say it with me. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. And what it is, it's the Lord our provider, the Lord our God, Jehovah. But also I want you to see this morning the word Jireh. When we think in terms of the Lord providing for us, most of the time we think in the terms of money, right? We think in the terms of materialistic. We think in the terms of things that we need, sustenance for life, the material things, the food. God provides all those things. He is Jehovah Jireh. And there's nothing wrong with thinking in that terms because that is part of that. He provides. But what I want us to see in the next few moments together as we look at the story in Genesis 22 is that Abraham declared that spot, that place, if you will, as a place of worship and praise and worship and adoration and thanksgiving to the Lord. He said, "The Lord has provided," because the Lord saw his need. Look at your neighbor, say, "He sees your need." He sees your need. And the need is greater than just your material things. How many know the material things are not going to last? But what those things that do last are eternal, and those are eternal things that we need this morning. We need the hand of God. We need the presence of God. We need the love of God. We need the manifestation of God in our places of life. And so he says, "The Lord," this is the place where the Lord provided. And I want us to see how he opened that up this morning. One thing I want you to remember this morning, first of all, is that when you are going through it and you're seeking God and you're asking God for provision in your life, for oversight in your life, for his hand upon your life, I want you to begin to worship him. We've talked about this. Worship him even when you don't understand. Worship God even when you don't understand. That's exactly what we see in the example here of Abraham. Look at, if you will, in the first part of Abraham chapter Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. "Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he replied. And then God said, 'Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you.'" Verse 3, you guys see it with me? You're reading with me? "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, 'Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you.'" I love Abraham's faith. It's the "we will come back" faith. It's that we are going to go over here and worship. I'm going to take my boy, and I know God's asked me to sacrifice my son Isaac on the altar, and we're going to go up to the mountain, and we're going to worship there, and I'm going to sacrifice my son. But somehow, God's going to bring him back to me, and we're going to come back to you. He said to his servant, "Stay here, we'll be back." How many times in your life have you said, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it to the other end. I don't know how I'm going to get over, get under, get through it. But somehow you look back and you say, I don't know how I did it, but I was able to get back on my feet. I was able to stand back up again. I was able to make it through that. Hallelujah. With the help and the steadfastness and the consistency of God in my life. I love that kind of faith. The will be back faith. Will be back faith. The faith to know. How many have proven God over and over again in your life? You've seen God over and over again manifest himself in the way of taking care of you. I could share so many stories in my life and personally of things how God has ministered to our lives and provided the things that we needed. This past week, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want to, but if you just want to lift your hand and say, Lord, I thank you for how you provided this very thing in my life. Hallelujah. Can you just give the Lord praise for that? All across the room this morning. All across the room and up in the balcony, all across this room, God has provided and proven himself over and over again. And so what we see here is that even in the middle of not receiving it, in the middle of not seeing it manifested, in the middle of not seeing the answers to prayer, we see that Abraham worshiped God with a faith that said, no matter what, I know that me and the boy are going to be back. And if you look back a little bit in chapter 21, you'll see exactly where he gets this thought. That in this absolute truth from God, look at verse chapter 21, back in the early part in verse 12. But God said to him, do not be distressed about the boy, your slave woman, talking about Hagar and Ishmael. He says, listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac, everybody say Isaac, it is through Isaac, your offspring, you will be reckoned. So what he's saying is, I promised Isaac to you. I have promised to get, he's going to be your offspring, and there's going to be many that come after you because of your son Isaac. And so when God makes a promise, guys, you can take that to the bank. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. He is truthful. He cannot disown himself. Even when we remain faithless, his word says God will remain faithful. In other words, he is true to his word. Hallelujah. He's true to his word, Ralph. If he said he's God and he's for you, he's not against you, then you can believe that your God is with you no matter what. No matter what. And Abraham said, me and the boy will be back. I wonder how your faith is doing this morning. Do you have the will be back kind of faith? You have the will be back kind of faith? No matter hell and high water, no matter what comes my way, no matter obstacles are in my life, no matter what circumstances are facing me this morning, I know that my God is my God. He is with me. And who can be, if he's with me, who can be against me if he's for me? So my God is with me. And he says, me and the boy are going to be back. I love that. I love that. Secondly, what I want you to see here is that we need to obey God even when our trust is tested. We need to obey God even when our trust is tested. How many has ever been tested before? Your trust in God. I mean, our trust in people is always tested, right? And we learn that people will fail us, people will disappoint us, people can hurt us. We understand those kind of complexities, but listen, our God will never fail us. Your God, you can trust in your God. And we see this played out here. Look at verse 6, if you will. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Think about this moment here. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, he said, Father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? It's an interesting scenario here. Isaac has been with his dad many times for this sacrificial time of worship to God. And they've always had this lamb or some kind of an animal that they would sacrifice on the burnt offering. And they would offer that as to God and worship to God. So this is not unfamiliar territory for Isaac. But what's very unfamiliar for him in this moment is that he's walking up with his dad. He's got the wood. He's placing it on his back. And they're getting ready to make this trek up the mountain. But they don't have the lamb. They don't have the sacrificial animal, if you will. And so I don't know about you, but I would be like Isaac. I was like, okay, Dad, I'm going with you. We're hanging out. We're going to do this. But where's it at? You're starting to wonder what's going to happen here. What's Dad up to today? And there's a question here, and this trust is tested. This trust is tested in this moment. And when they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand to take the knife to slay his son. Just think about this moment for a moment. Here we are, this trust in God. God, you've told me he's going to be my promised son. He's going to be the one that you're going to bless my life through for many for nations to come out of this. And so I believe he's a promised son. I believe he's somehow, if you have to raise him from the dead, he's going to make it. He's going to live. I don't know how you're going to do it. But they've made their place up to the mountain. They made their track up there, and they're there. He's laid the wood out, and he takes his son Isaac. Think about this moment, George. I cannot fathom this moment where he takes his son, and he's thinking, God, I trust you. I love you. I know that you are my God. I know you're not going to fail me, but here I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. And he takes this young boy and lifts him up in his arms, and he's placing him in the altar. He lays him down, and think about Isaac now. What's Isaac thinking about this for a moment? Isaac's thinking, oh, I'm the sacrificial lamb. What in the world's going on with that? And I can imagine the fear and just of that moment and the tension of that moment. He lays him on the altar. And can you imagine Abraham takes the knife out of his side and out of his girdle here and is tied on and he brings it up and he has it right here and he's getting ready to slay his only son. He said, God, I love you this much. I'm about to do this because you've asked me to do it. This is a test, but I'm trusting you. I want to know this morning, how many times have you walked through something and you just wonder, why in the world is God allowing this to happen to me right now? You guys ever had that happen before? You guys have never had that happen yet, have you? You probably will. So you're still young. You got it coming. You're either going through something, you're getting ready to go through something, or you just came out of something. We all share that together in life. And we also share how we're going to respond to that. So here's a test. And we've all been through times where God has tested us. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to me. That's right. We've all been through things where we are tested. And some of you are being tested right now. And you're wondering where God's at. God, why are you allowing this in my life? And there's the questions. You got more questions than you got answers. And at that moment, it's time when you're going through it, that moment, you've got to learn to trust God even when you're being tested. I'm going to say it one more time. Trust him even when you don't understand and you're being tested. Everybody say trust. Trust him even when you don't understand, you don't know how it's going to turn out, and you're moving through what God's asked you to do, and you're taking one step at a time. I've learned in my life that God won't show you the whole picture at one time. He's going to show you little increments at a time, and he's wanting you to take a step, one step at a time. That's called faith. Hello? It's called faith, taking one step at a time. Lord, I'm going to trust you right here in this step right here. I'm going to trust you. And he nudges you in the direction he wants you to go, and you walk in that way, and you trust him even when you're being tested. You trust him. Why do you trust him? Because you feel good about trusting him? You trust him because pastor told you to trust him? You trust him because your friend told you to trust him? Listen, the world's not going to tell you to trust in God. Sometimes your friends aren't going to tell you to trust in God. I pray when you come to Rock Hill First that we tell you to trust in God. But the only thing you can really stand on and know is the Word of God. And know his character. And know that he is with you. And know that he has been tried and true in your life. But he is God in your life. And if you are tested, you say, Lord, I trust you, not necessarily what you've done for me before, not necessarily what I'm going through right now, but I trust you because your word, it says that you are faithful. Even when I am faithless, you remain faithful, and you are my God. And I'm in your hands. And so, Lord, I trust you in the middle of that. And so here we got this picture. Isaac is laid on the altar. Abraham's got this knife, and he's ready to slay his son. I just cannot imagine this moment. And right before he gets ready, he says, Lord, I'm trusting you in the middle of this. Now think about it. He's worshiped God even when he didn't understand and he had a lot of questions. He's been worshiping God and he built this altar. They're going through it. The motions, they're going up to the mountain. He's going to do it. And now he's being tested. He's being tried. And yet he's still obeying. Everybody say obey. He's still obeying God. And we've all known people who stepped away and took a sidetrack from God because he disappointed them. And life was hurting too bad, and so I'm going to get off the path here. I'm just going to get off the track because God doesn't work. Anybody know anybody like that? Maybe you've gone through that. You've gone through a time in your life where you said, God just doesn't work. I'm giving up on this. But you're here today, aren't you? You came back. You're here today because you're trusting in God. And you've learned that he is who he says he would be. So Abraham's got this knife. And he's getting ready to slay his son. And I love what happens next. He's getting ready to be obedient in this moment. And I love here, and I love what brings to mind now is Psalm 46. Psalm 46 tells me, it says that the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble.
Amen.
Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, he is a very present help in time of trouble. And in verse 10, it says, what does it say in verse 10? To watch God, to be still, and to know that he is God. How many have had some moments in your life where you've done all you know to do, you know the word of God, and so you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you no matter what. I'm going to lean on you. I'm going to trust your word. I'm going to trust you that you are who you say you are. And he says, watch me, be still, and know that I am God. You guys ever been there before? Yeah, I'm just going to stand, Lord, on your promises. Life hurts too much. The situation hurts too much. I don't understand what I'm going through, but I'm going to stand on your promises. Watch this. This is where God says, watch me. Look at your neighbor and say, watch God. Watch God. Look at verse 11. I love this. He reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld your son from me, your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. Have you guys ever had that moment before in your life? Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but all of a sudden, there it is. And God says, watch me, and he come through for you. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Aren't you thankful that we can trust God no matter what? And right there, in the middle of that, Abraham began to worship God because God said, watch me, be still, and know that I am God. Now, the interesting part of the story is always intriguing to me because we think about the character being Isaac, we think about the character being Abraham, and those are a big part of the story. But there's another part of the story that sometimes we don't think about, and that is that sacrificial lamb or that ram. This is where I opened it up last week, and I want to say it again to you this morning, is that God is in the details of your life.
Amen.
God is in the details of your life. Because somewhere along the way, now I can trust that God could have just placed that ram there, like in a moment's notice, and all of a sudden the ram appears. Boof, there's a ram in the bush. Or somehow he could just place it in that moment. But somehow I believe that God is in the details of our lives, and so much so, he's in every detail. You guys understand this? He's in every detail of your life. There's nothing hidden from him. He sees it. He knows it. And that's a part of who Jehovah Jireh is. He's that he sees. Everybody say he sees. He sees. He sees the situation. He sees your need, and also he provides. And that's where Abraham was worshiping him out of this, that he saw my need and also he provided for my need. But what God sees and what God saw in the faith of Abraham is that he trusted God no matter what. And many times I think if we feel like if we show God our anxiousness, our zealousness, if you will, or our passion for it enough, or our disappointment enough, that we'll get God's attention. But I've learned in my life that God doesn't work that way. What God works on is when you show faith to stand in the middle of the battle, no matter what's happening around you, and say, my God is my God. I trust him. I will not quit. I will not stop. I will move forward. I will trust him because he is my God. That's the kind of faith that God looks for. And so when God saw Abraham's faith and saw his commitment, saw his worship, saw him even in the middle of his trust, his testing that he trusted in him in the middle of that moment where he's getting ready to slay his son and be obedient to God in the middle of a testing, he had faith. And I believe that God operates more in our lives. He'll operate more in the way of seeing his will be done, seeing his plan being manifested in us when we act in a way of faith.
Amen.
So my question to us this morning, and whatever you're going through, whatever circumstances you're facing right now, is that are you showing God your faith or are you showing God your fear? Are you showing God your faith or are you showing God your questions? It's okay to ask God. I tell many people many times, don't get quiet on God. Don't get mad at God. Don't get quiet. Listen, talk to him. Ask him the questions. I've had some shouting matches with God before. You say, Pastor, yeah, well, I've had some places where in my life where I've cried out to God and I've asked him, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I need your presence. I need to know that you're watching over us, that you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. It's good to ask God. It's good to communicate with God. Don't get quiet on God. But within that, you say, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You're my provider. And Lord, you're in the details of my life. And I love this about the ram. So the Bible says that he looks over at that moment when he's getting ready to sacrifice his son, and he sees that God has provided a ram in the thicket. I love that about God. Now, again, he could have dropped that ram there. He could have placed it there in a moment's notice. But I believe that God's so much in the details of our lives that maybe about 3 or 4 days before that ram was in that very spot, God nudged that ram, motioned for that ram, appointed that ram to be in that spot at that given time in that given moment. It took maybe 3 or 4 days for that mountain, that ram to go up the mountain and make that track up the mountain, to go this way, that way. Maybe he got caught in a stream. Maybe he got caught up. Maybe somehow he got out and he got back up there. And he's in that moment right there in the nick of time. And he's there when he looks over. He doesn't have to sacrifice his son. He sees that God has provided a sacrifice at that moment. Aren't you thankful that God is in the details of your life? And when you thought it was a midnight hour, when you thought it was over, when you thought that there was no way to get back, somehow God said, here's your ram in the thicket right there. If you'll just look over and see, I've already provided it for you. I see your faith. I see your trust. And now here is the answer. Here is a provision. I am still God. I have not forgotten you. How many have experienced that in your life before? And right when you needed it most, God came through. In that midnight hour, God was right there. In that place of desperation where you said, God, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it through. I don't know where you're at in my life, but I trust in you, God. I'm going to worship you in the middle of it. I'm going to trust you, God, in the testing, and I'm going to trust that you are God. And God said, here I am, a very present help in time of trouble, to be still and know that I'm God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so out of that moment, when you see the ram in the thicket, when you see the answer, when you see the provision, or even if you're going through it today and you haven't seen that ram yet, in the middle of that, Abraham built an altar and he says, Jehovah Jireh, he says, the Lord is my provider. I love that. I love that he is our provider. He is our provider. He sees and he knows. Everybody say it with me. He sees and he knows. We're going to go into a time of communion, and I trust that that you have your communion elements. So I want you to hold those in your hand. Those of you on the main level here, also in the balcony, if you haven't had a communion element yet and you'd like to have one, just raise your hand real high. We'll get some to you. We've got some guys down here that have extras, and we'll get them to you if you don't have them. Anybody else in the house? All right. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. David in the Psalms, we see where he sings many songs to the Lord out of a heart of seeking God and out of a heart of saying, Lord, if you see anything in me that's not pleasing, rid me of that. And I want to mix this message with this time of communion in the way of, Lord, maybe you're here today and you say, Lord, I'm really going through it right now. Everything's relative, right? So your difficulty is just as real to you as a man having to be tested to sacrifice his only son. And I'd like to open up a little bit more of that story at another time, because there's some other things going on, some interaction with the sacrificial part of his son. We think about Isaac, but we kind of forget about Ishmael. He sacrificed Ishmael. And it's kind of a parallel with God's sacrificing his son for us. When you read the dynamics of Ishmael, the dynamics of because Abraham loved Ishmael. This was his son that he had through Hagar. It was his son that he that he loved, that he nurtured. And you can imagine as Ishmael grew up. It was his boy. And there was a moment where Ishmael was mocking Isaac, and Sarah saw that dynamic, and she said, you need to get rid of him and this lady. Get them out of here so we can have a family and we can raise this boy as our own. And so Abraham had to go through a place where he had to release and sacrifice his son. I think about the parallel of that, of God that loves us so much. Lord, forgive us for ever thinking that you would leave us, that you'd turn your back on us, when you have already proven such an immense, deep love for your creation is to give your only begotten Son, to die for us, to stand for us in redemption for us. And he's a spotless lamb that was born to take away the sins of the world, to release God's love into my life, to rid me of all of my sin. And so that's really what communion is all about. It's understanding this sacrificial lamb part. It's understanding this giving of the Son. It's understanding of God presenting to us an opportunity to know him and have a place of right standing with God because of his Son. So as you're holding your communion elements in your hand, I want you to think about the story of Isaac and Abraham and the dimensions there, the dynamics that are happening, but also think about the Heavenly Father giving his Son for us. And he paid the price. He died for our sins. But aren't you thankful in just a few weeks? We're so excited about what God's going to be doing around here at Rock Hill First around Easter season. I'm so excited. Aren't you thankful that even though he was crucified and he paid the price for our sins, that on the third day he was raised from death and that he lives forevermore? Because he lives, we also live. I'm looking forward to celebrating that with you together. Can we just bow and position ourselves just for a few moments as you hold your element in your hand and say, Lord, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for your life given for me. And I don't know about you, but maybe there's a place where you're saying, Lord, I've been going through some stuff, and I need, Lord, ask, first of all, that you just forgive me for not trusting like I should. And the story of Abraham and Isaac has just illuminated to me, Lord, how you provide and how you love your creation, how you love people. So, Lord, I ask that you'd forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me for not trusting in you like I should. Forgive me for positioning myself away from you and not trusting in your word, not trusting in who you are, not trusting on the experiences I've had already. Forgive me, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're watching online. You say, Pastor Steve, I just had a place in my life where I have not committed my life to Jesus. Or maybe I have lived for him at one time, but I know I need to get back to God. This is your opportunity right now, right here, this moment right now. We're not promised the next moments. We're not promised tomorrow, but you have this moment right now to say yes to Jesus. So would you pray this with me? Pray it in your own way. I can't pray it for you, but I can lead you in it. Say, dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I cannot save myself. But I want to thank you that you paid the price for my sins. And I ask that you'd forgive me for my sins. And I ask that you'd come into my heart, that you'd be my Lord and you'd be my Savior, Lord. And I'll follow you hard all the days of my life from this moment forward. And I realize, Lord, at this moment, God, that I'm on a new path, a new trajectory, Lord God. I'm heading towards the things that you have for me, God. I'm leaving the old behind. And I'm running hard after you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for that. Listen, my friend, if you prayed that prayer in this house and online, if you prayed it with all your heart, I want you to know the Bible says that you're born again. It says that all things are passed away, all things become new. And I celebrate with you today. I celebrate that you have faith in God no matter what. Faith. Trust him in the middle of the storm. So, Father, I want to thank you for all that are here in this room today, those watching online, as we hold our communion in our hands. For just the next 30 seconds, I'm going to ask that we just posture ourselves, seek his face, and make sure he's Lord of every part of our lives. Can we do that together right now? Thank you, Jesus.